We're talking offensive line today, whether or not we got to settle. And is there room between being greatness, being great and good enough? We'll talk about it here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up? This is Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguars. Glad to have you guys join us today for the Locked On Jaguars podcast because it's your team every day, and we thank you for making us your first listen. Also, a shout out to my everydayers, what's going down, and anyone who is a new listener. Thank you for joining us. Also, we have to mention that our show is free to subscribe to on the YouTube page. Make sure you hit that like button on Locked On Jaguars YouTube page. And then wherever you get your podcast on a daily basis, make sure you tap in and check in so you don't miss an episode. All right, man. Look, been kind of I just tweeted out that I'm going to take my bad attitude over here and record this show because I kind of been, excuse me every now and then if I move around too, if you hear me moving around or grunting because I'm in a little bit of pain today, but that's all right. We do it like we do it every single day here on Locked On Jaguars. But I kind of been trying to explain to everyone about the offensive line. So information comes out, little tweets come out, all of this stuff about why the offensive line is extremely important. What this was about a tweet that I saw. And every now and then I will use it and then engage with fans to use that conversation that I have. So don't take that stuff personal. And I'd give a podcast about it because when people chime in, when you look up and you got 40 mentions about something and everyone has a different opinion, I kind of want the Jaguar fan base. And I know everybody ain't on Twitter, so I'll explain to you exactly what was going on. There's a free agent that left Philadelphia to go to Pittsburgh. I can't even think of how to pronounce his name anymore. It's Isaac something, right? Somebody Doug Peterson was very familiar with from Philadelphia. Evidently, Kelsey, the center from Philadelphia, said he's one of the best players in the league at his position, right? And Pittsburgh got a great one or something like that. And I put the eye emoji on it because if you follow Locked On Jaguars, and you can go back on YouTube and look at the thumbnails, or you can go back and look at the shows during free agency, he was on my list. He was on my list for a number of things. For the connection to Doug Peterson, because I think the Jaguars need to upgrade the left guard position. And mainly, I just don't like to see missed opportunities because the money that he signed for really wasn't bank-breaking money. It wasn't really a bunch of money that I would have really understood it had they signed him to plug him in at left guard. It wasn't anything out of the question, right? Look, the main thing that I was trying to convey is there's a lot of people making decisions and coming to conclusions about the offensive line. And it's a lot of the same people coming to different conclusions about the offensive line that don't really make sense. And I'll tell you exactly what they are. We have talked about Walker Little to the point where Walker Little saw me, Walker Little might jack me up somewhere, right? And not really, but I'm just saying he probably would. But one of the reasons that we've talked about him so much is because every day I get texts, tweets, you're wrong about Walker Little. Well, I never said anything to be wrong about Walker Little. The one thing I have said was, if you listen to fans, they think Walker Little is Larry Allen. And if you say, I got to see more, or I don't know about that, man, that's not been proven yet. The first thing people go is, yes, it has. See, that's that emotion. They can't even tell me why he's projected to be that great. They can't tell. They're just mad because you disagree with them about stuff, right? So listen to this. The very same people that say we can't pay an offensive lineman $20 million, okay, are the same people that don't understand that they draft a guy in the first round that plays that exact same position, that they do prioritize the position because if they didn't, they wouldn't have used the first round pick on the spot, right? And they were intent on getting the guy. Kudos to them. That guy happens to play the same position of the dude that they would not pay $20 million. Those are the same people that say, well, Walker Little's going to play right tackle and Cam can play left and maybe this guy can play guard, the new dude, right? Then they say, well, no, Walker Little's going to play left tackle. And these are the same people. These are not different people. So that's why I'm saying this. Well, Walker Little's going to play left tackle. When Cam Robinson comes back off his suspension, he can kick in the guard. Cam Robinson ain't never played anything except left tackle in his entire life. And I looked him right in his face and I asked him that in his first year. And I asked him again in his second year. And he gave me a resounding no. Mind you, the team gave him an extension. He's on the books for $22 million. Ain't the kind of person you slide inside the guard. So when Doug Peterson says that Walker Little can slide inside the guard, maybe even kick in the guard, I asked this question on my last podcast, well, a podcast about a month ago. How did they figure that out? Because we've never seen him do it. Because the only time Walker Little got on the field is when Cam Robinson got hurt. So the order here is, Ben Bartsch, who's going to be coming back from injury this year, and the staff has said he likely won't be ready for training camp, right? Ben Bartsch, and we can agree to disagree on how good he was playing. He was playing better than he had ever played, but is that good enough? Because before that, he hadn't really played that much, and he hadn't played that good. So we can sit here all day and go, is Ben Bartsch good enough pre-injury for them to, and I'll say settle because to me that's what it is, has he been good enough in development that they're going to re-sign him when you just saw them not re-sign the guy who was their best offensive lineman last year? And they didn't re-sign him when they had a guy who was coming off of an injury. You sit here and you think, is he going to be good enough? But then you think when Ben Bartsch got hurt, and this was before Cam Robinson got hurt, they didn't plug Walker Little into left guard, where Doug Peterson now says he can kick into. You know, he ain't talking about right guard because Brandon Sheriff, who they played a bunch of money, is at right guard. So if you come to the conclusion that Walker can kick into left guard, when did you come to that conclusion? Because obviously when Ben Bartsch got hurt, he didn't play left guard. He was on the sideline. How many times have y'all heard coaches say, we're going to get our five best players on the field? I've heard it when talking about offensive linemen. I can't tell you how many times I've heard we're going to get our five best players on the field. And if you thought they were going to kick Cam Robinson into guard this year when he comes back, why didn't they kick him into guard last year and put Walker Little at left tackle? And why didn't they play Walker Little? So for me to ask the question is like, just because Doug says he can kick inside doesn't mean he can kick inside and become Conrad Dobler or John Hanna. Or Larry Allen. It doesn't. My only goal is to make sure that Trevor Lawrence is upright. Doug Peterson said in the press conference before free agency, when asked if they were going to re-sign Juwan Taylor, Doug says, do you like Trevor Lawrence? So now ask Jaguar fans, do you like Trevor Lawrence? And you don't have to be great at every position. I had a guy say, and this is funny, he used Kansas City as an example. He said, I live in Kansas City. Shout out to you, by the way. I appreciate the engagement. He said, I live in Kansas City. Kansas City ain't great at every place on that offensive line. Trust me, they're not. You don't need five All-Pros or five All-Pros to play on the offensive line. I said, you're right. Who said you did? So go name me one All-Pro, a current All-Pro on that offensive line right now. Do it. It's one. Brandon Sheriff used to be an All-Pro. So I'm talking about replacing one guy and everybody got a wedgie. I ain't say replace all five of them so we have all five All-Stars or All-Pros. I said we need to replace one guy. And it's not that Bartsch isn't good or needs to be totally replaced. Back when the Jaguars were a bad team, they signed Jeremy Parnell to a free agency contract. He was probably for a while their best lineman at right tackle. He was the swing tackle in Dallas before that. Good players can be your swing offensive linemen. They don't have to be starters. Most offensive linemen, NFL offensive linemen, are at the very least, Tyler Shatley, where you can say good things about them. If you need them in a pinch, they'll come in and be a pro. Most of them. A lot of guys that are in practice squads are the same way. My thing is, do you want to be normal or do you want to win a championship? You winning a championship doesn't mean you're going to have to go out and get 5 Pro Bowl offensive linemen. But you try to. Look up the definition of Stockholm Syndrome, and you'll understand that people that aren't used to winning, anytime you suggest something that they're not comfortable with, you know what they do? They want to stay the same. I heard a dude say one time, it was a drought. It was like this Bible story a guy was telling. He said, it's a drought. And we needed to rain. So they go get somebody that can make it rain by dancing or praying or something. And he says, where's your ditches and your buckets? You say, well, you got to show us it can rain first. It won't ever rain, and you ain't ever prepared to take the rain until you dig a ditch. But some of y'all would rather be filled with dirt than to be empty just for a few minutes waiting on that thing you need that's going to make you better. I'm going to talk more about this in the second segment here on Locked On Jaguars in just a second. But I first have to tell you about our sponsor today, and that is Built Bar. Built Bar is off the chain, and I'm telling you right now, you don't have to have an empty stomach if you're trying to lose weight, because Built Bar is absolutely amazing. It's covered with 100% dark chocolate. It tastes so good, you would think you're doing something wrong. They got flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and cookies and cream. They have 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. Y'all heard what I said. Now, while I still suggest that you go to built.com to see all of the delicious goodness that's on that page and to get all the latest information, you can also go to your local Walmart or Sam's Club, where you can get either a 4 or a 13 bar box of Built Bars. If you go into Walmart, your neighborhood Walmart, make sure you go back by the pharmacy section and find those Built Bars. Built Bar is the truth. Built Bars or Built Bar Puffs, make sure you tap in. All right, man, we're running it down here on Locked On Jaguars, and we're talking the offensive line. I just can't believe. One thing we can't agree on is that priority number one is Trevor Lawrence. Priority number one is keeping Trevor Lawrence upright. That's the thing that's most important, because, one, you don't want Trevor Lawrence to not feel safe or secure. You want that beautiful arm talent to show and display itself every chance that you get. And two, when you protect your quarterback, you have a chance to win the ultimate prize, which is the Super Bowl. Perhaps if Cincinnati was a little bit better at protecting their quarterback, especially in critical moments, they would have been able to get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase, who was 5 yards past Jalen Ramsey, because Jalen Ramsey fell down in the Super Bowl on the last play of the game. It would have been a touchdown, and we'd have been talking about the walk-off, and we'd have been talking about how Joe Burrow did it. And then all of y'all that says you can do it with an average offensive line would have been able to say, no, Wig, you can get away with winning a championship with an average offensive line, because we watched Joe Burrow do that with Cincinnati. Instead, I'll reference the Super Bowl where we saw Patrick Mahomes get blasted 38-9 with that offense by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because he did not have a good offensive line on that day, because they had been injured and banged up, and they were old and patched up, and they probably felt like, we can never get into this situation again. And the very next offseason, they drafted two dudes, signed another guy in free agency, and then 2 years later, won the Super Bowl, and guess what they did after that? The guy that they had at left tackle, he said, you ain't good enough. They came, guess where they came? Right here to Jacksonville, and got a dude and paid him $20 million a year to come out there and play right tackle. That's what they did. So forgive me if I want to copycat what good teams do that have good quarterbacks or great quarterbacks like we do. Forgive me for wanting to do that. Forgive me for watching a team that won the Super Bowl that says, our left tackle ain't good enough, so we're going to change this up, and then we're going to go get Jacksonville's dude and pay him more money than anybody else. Forgive me for thinking that that might be a good strategy. I'm sorry. Now, it doesn't mean you have to do it, but my point is if you didn't have to do it, and if you didn't need to shore up the offensive line, the Jaguars would not be a team coming off of a divisional playoff run, allowed their left tackle to hit free agency, because they could have put the tag on him for about $18, $19 million, and we wouldn't even be having this conversation. Allow him to hit free agency, and then turn right around when you have multiple needs, use another first-round pick on yet another offensive tackle. And then I got people wanting to fuss and argue with me about the importance of the offensive line, because there's some guys on this team that know how to play. I'd be a fly on the wall if you could have Trent Baalke and Doug Peterson, without coach speak and unfiltered, talk about the offensive line play and have y'all sit there and watch what they say. I'd be a fly on the wall, and I know there's about 10 people out there that I know, and they know me, that will give you the testimony that when I criticize 41, Josh Allen, that one of the two people I mentioned a couple of years ago did not believe that Josh Allen was a number one edge rusher, and that's why they drafted one. But I'm just a barber that cuts hair and a guy who's sitting in one or two different offices when I do these podcasts, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Right? I think the emotion of the fans is always a good thing. Always. I do sometimes believe, though, that the familiarity with certain players and the willingness to stand pat with players because you know who they are or they're familiar, you're familiar with them, I think sometimes it hinders your judgment. I want y'all to be happy. Y'all, I'm no good on a podcast without people that listen to it, right? But I got to be real. For me to want you to be happy, I want number 16 protected. And I wouldn't give a damn if I used 5 franchise tags, 8 straight first round picks, if I come back to you and say the logic behind it is to protect the greatest asset that this team has ever seen personnel wise. I don't even see why y'all give me any pushback. I just don't. When any and every coach, GM, and quarterback alive would take my opinion and say, you got a point. You're right. But then to sit here and use Kansas City as an example, when Kansas City actually did exactly what I'm sitting there saying I hope the Jaguars do, which is protect that man at all costs. Y'all really hustling backwards when you make certain comments. And I just want y'all to understand, it comes from a place of me wanting them to do well. So we're going to talk about Ben Bartsch, and we're going to talk about Cam, and we're going to talk about Sheriff. We're going to talk about the rookie Anton Harrison. We're going to go one by one. We're going to talk about Luke Fortner. And then I want you to name the guys behind them. That if one guy goes down that has to come in and play, that you're comfortable, but that dude can take you to the Super Bowl. I'm dead serious. We're going to do it here on Locked On Jaguars in our third and final segment. All right, back with Locked On Jaguars here on the third and final segment of today's show where we're talking about offensive linemen. So Ben Bartsch is not going to be ready for training camp, so they'll go into training camp with either probably with Tyler Shatley or whoever else they think, you know, they drafted some guys. And shout out to my wife who's trying to be quiet while I'm recording. They can't hear you, baby. Go ahead. Just don't drop a whole bunch of stuff. But anyway, my thing is – I'm putting them against the best 8 teams in the league. I want them to have their best foot forward. There were teams like Philly didn't win the Super Bowl, right? But I was saying get one of their linemen. They didn't win the Super Bowl. They lost. They lost with a great offensive line. An offensive line that's better than the one that's here in Jacksonville. The 49ers lost to the Eagles with the best left tackle in football playing on their team. And a real good right tackle. They just didn't have a quarterback, right? I want to make sure that when we walk outside that our bullies are going to bully and be able to bully people. I'm not trying to run Ben Bartsch out of town. Ben Bartsch hurt. He's hurt. And he wasn't cracking nobody's first, second, or third all-pro team. In fact, name me somebody who is. I was a big critic of Cam Robinson. Because I foresaw what was going to happen. I would rather them have kept Juwan Taylor and let Cam Robinson go and go ahead and play Walker Little last year. And the money they gave Cam Robinson, they could have gave Juwan Taylor. But what's going to happen? Cam Robinson is going to play one more year here, and he'll more than likely be gone, according to a lot of people that understand the economics of the salary cap. When he leaves, That's year four for Walker Little. They got to make a decision on Walker Little. Okay, so we'll talk about him now. Where do you play him? Does he get a chance to show you where his value is if halfway through the year, Cam comes off a suspension and you move him inside the left guard? Because he ain't going to play left tackle because the rookie's going to be there. A lot of people think the rookie's going to be the swing tackle. The Jacksonville Jaguars did not use a first-round pick on a rookie to be a swing tackle. He's going to play. And he's going to play because I think right now he's one of the three best. I like Sheriff at right guard. He's probably not what he used to be, but he's good enough. I love the Luke Fortner pick. I think you always need to draft offensive linemen in the first three rounds, or at least round two and three, because those guys are real close to being a first-round pick, but you always will have those guys in development. I want eight starting caliber players. I want my offensive line to be built like an NBA team that's challenging for a championship. It's not just about the starters. It's about those glue guys. You know, the guys that the Phoenix Suns didn't have? That's what I want. And I want it. And I'll be very succinct and very, very clear. I want it because the better the team is, the better the quarterback is, the better the chances for a Super Bowl to happen, and the better you get a smile on your face. I don't want it to be right. I want it because it's the right thing to do. I trust Coach Rauscher. I trust Doug Peterson. But let me tell you something. Scheming up to beat a team in the regular season and winning a first-round playoff game, that's one thing. Scheming up stuff to win in the Super Bowl, you're going to need some dudes that know how to bully people, and you're going to need some dudes that know how to be and how to act when the guy on the other side of the offensive or the defensive line, the guy on the other side of the ball is just as good as they are. That's what the ultimate competition. Watch the NBA playoffs. Watch these games that go down in the world. I see these tweets so much during the NFL playoffs, and it starts on Wild Card Weekend, and they say, this is why the NFL is king. So you get that because these games are so closely contested and it's a chess match between coaches. Right? How do you think a team gets good enough to have that chess match? Don't worry, I'll wait. They get good enough because they never rest on their laurels that anybody at any position is good enough, and they're always pressing and pressing and pressing to try to improve players at every position. I'm going to give you an example, and then I'm going to let you go for the day and stop slapping y'all upside the head on these audios and these videos. Everyone says anybody can run in a Kyle Shanahan and a Mike Shanahan offense. Anybody. You can get anybody. All of their running backs through the years, their running backs were running through the line, whether it was Mostert, whether it was Breida, whether it was all of these dudes. It looked like they could take anybody at running back. Okay, so why did they trade all those draft picks for Christian McCaffrey, who was a perennial all-star and all-pro? You know why? Because they didn't just want anybody. They wanted greatness. They wanted to press the mark against those teams and really press those lines, as they say on the street. They want to press those lines against those teams that they know that look just like them when it comes to trying to win in the playoffs. Y'all can trip all day, man, but I'm just trying to help you. Don't kill the messenger. That rookie's going to start. Barch is going to be hurt. Give me a five offensive linemen right now and the five you hope for by the midway point. Because I'm gonna break it down to you right now, all right? Cam Robinson, when he comes back, because of the money he's making, is going to start. If he wasn't suspended, and he still might not be, they're gonna appeal it. But if he wasn't suspended, he started left tackle. That rookie has already been, they already told you, the brass has already told you, he's our right tackle. Luke Fortner is your center, and Brandon Sheriff is damn sure your right guard. So if Walker Little is as good as y'all say he is, they're going to kick him inside the guard. When Ben Barch comes to play, where is he going to be? Standing over there next to the coach with his helmet on, waiting to get in the game. So y'all don't sit there and argue with me that Ben Barch is good and then turn around in the next minute and tell me Walker Little is great when one of them is going to be standing on that sideline if all of them are healthy when they're trying to win these games. Common sense. And if you think both of them are playing at the same time, then tell me who else is going to be on the pine. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be right here tomorrow on Locked On Jaguars getting ready for my weekend. I'm going to give you a Friday podcast and you can join me and be in every day and do the same. Make sure you tap in with me like and subscribe on the YouTube page as well. We'll look at another position tomorrow. Y'all got me heated, man. We're going to get to it. Love y'all. Take care of each other. See you tomorrow.